times, people were so dear to me. My heart is heavy, and I miss them so. And I know that I'll see them in heaven someday. But I'm homesick, and this is not home. When I am finished with my work you have for me, Lord, there'll be so many I leave here for years. And my heart will be broken to leave them behind, but it's them who deserve all the tears. So only cry for the ones left behind. When the Lord says it's time to come home, what a grand time there'll be when my mansion I'll see. On that heavenly shore I'll be fine. So only cry for the ones left behind. So just remember when it's time to tell you goodbye, the Lord will welcome me to my new home. All the saints of the ages and loved ones I'll see, so don't worry for me when I'm gone. Only cry for the ones left behind. When the Lord says it's time to come home, what a grand time there'll be when my mansion I'll see. On that heavenly shore I'll be fine. So only cry for the ones left behind. On that heavenly shore I'll be fine. So only cry for the ones left behind.
Amen, amen. The Apostle Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians, "For eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the hearts of man the things that he hath prepared for them that love him." Now, I want you to know we've never thought anything like it, we've never heard anything like it, and we ain't seen anything like it. Oh, what a day that's going to be when we get to glory and we see Jesus Christ. See heaven. Now I want you to know, as beautiful as the mansions and the streets of gold and the gates of pearl and the walls of jasper, they're not going to compare to the beauty of the one that outshines them all, Jesus Christ. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. I started a message this morning and planned to finish it, but got only less than halfway in it, so I thought, I'll just finish it tonight. I'm excited about what I said this morning, and I'm looking forward to what I got to say tonight. You ought to, if you don't enjoy your preaching. Huh? I have to. I've got to feed me too. I've got to get excited about the Word of God. Stand with me and we'll begin to read again. And I think we'll just read down through verse 10 for tonight. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I started out this morning bringing a sermon about why every Christian should live for Jesus and serve Him with all their heart. Nobody's ever loved me like Jesus loved me. Nobody's ever done for me what Jesus has done for me. No one has ever promised me what He has promised me. No one has ever blessed me in this life like He has blessed me. And I cannot think of an act of ingratitude greater than accepting that gift of eternal life and not living for Him with all your heart and serving Him with all our might. That's God's plan for us. The Bible says, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. That's why God saved us. That's the way He designed it. And then He said, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. And that statement, God hath foreordained that we should walk in them, means that before Jesus ever came into this world, before God ever provided salvation for sinners, God planned that every saved person might live their life for His glory, and that they might serve Him with their life. And He before ordained that it would be that way. God said, before the worlds were ever founded, I put together my plan, and my plan is to save sinners by grace through faith. They will be my workmanship, created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that's the norm for the Christian life. And if you're not living for God tonight, and you're not living for God if you're not living according to the Word of God, you're not living for God if you're not involved in His local church, you're not living for God if you're not trying to live by the teachings and the principles of the Word of God, you're not living for God if you're not trying to get people saved and carry the gospel to the uttermost part of the world. I mean, God lays that out so plainly in the Word of God. And if we're not doing that, then we're living less than the normal Christian life that God intended for every one of us to live for Him. And I ask you tonight, are you living and serving like Jesus planned for you to before He ever saved? Are you doing it your way instead of His way? Are you saying, I got my own plans, don't have time for God's plans? A lot of people do that. A lot of people are doing it. And I told you this morning that anything that goes against the norm or the normal that God has established is perversion. It's perverted. And I use the illustration this morning that the normal in marriage that God planned was that one man would marry one woman. Anything where man and man cohabits together is perversion. When woman and woman cohabits together, it's perversion. When a man and woman cohabit together apart from marriage, it's perversion. Now, we recognize that, but isn't it amazing? We don't think there's anything wrong with getting saved, not living for Jesus and serving Him with all our heart. I want you to know, if you're saved tonight and you're not living your life for Jesus and serving Him with all your heart, your life is perverted. It's not what Christ designed it to be. He tells us what it's to be right here. And for the next few moments, I want to review what we covered this morning, and then I want to finish the message, why every one of us who are saved should live our life for Jesus Christ and serve Him with all our heart. When we do that, we're not some super Christian, we're just normal Christians. We're just doing what God planned for every Christian to do. And I'm afraid that so many have been contented to live far below what God's plan and design has been for us. And I want you to know, if that's true of you, that's not the end. Because one day you've got to stand before God and explain why you trusted Him as Savior and then did not love Him enough to live for Him and serve Him with all your heart. You got to tell Him, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. No excuses. Lies will be uncovered. Then our hearts will be made bare before the One that knows all things. And we'll have to try to find words to justify our wasted life. And there are no words, because He has planned beforehand that every one of us who are saved should live for Him and serve Him with all our heart. Father, help me now in these next few moments to give these simple reasons why every Christian ought to serve You with all their heart and live their life according to Your Word. That's the right thing to do, the normal thing to do. And yet we find it easy to rebel against God and say, I'm going to do it my way. Help me to make plain from Scripture why we ought to live for You and serve You with all our heart. We'll thank You for what You shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I said this morning, I suppose at one time or another, every one of us have asked the question, why should I serve Jesus? I'm saved. I believe it when the preacher said the Bible teaches eternal salvation. I have it and I can't lose it, so why don't I just live like I want to? Boy, that's a terrible attitude. That's a sinful attitude. That's an ungrateful attitude. That is the attitude of a self-centered prodigal. I'm going to do what I want to. I don't care what God did for me. Well, the truth is, God expects us to serve Him with all our heart. And this morning I gave you four reasons why we ought to do it. First of all, because of what we were before we got saved. And I used verse 1, 2, and 3. And it tells us that we were dead in trespasses and sin. We weren't just sick. We weren't crippled. We weren't just a little bit off. We were dead. Dead in trespass and sin. And then the Bible says every one of us walked according to the course of this world. We followed the prince and power of the air, doing what the world does. That's what we were before Jesus saved us. And we were by nature children of disobedience and children who walked after our own lust, desiring to fulfill the flesh and the mind's wishes. And we're by nature children of wrath. That's what we were. We were as sorry can get. We were as sorry as sinners could be. And why God would love us and give Himself for us, I don't know, but He did. And you are a fool among fools if you think that God really got a bargain when He got you. I want you to know, you may be attractive to the eyes or handsome to the eyes, but you're nothing but human scum and waste when it comes to what God saw in you. And yet He loved us. He loved us. And He gave Himself for us. So every one of us ought to serve Him because of what we were before He saved us. Dear God, in spite of us, He loved us. Not because of us, in spite of us, He loved us. In fact, He says in Romans, while we were yet sinners, He loved us and gave Himself for us. And then secondly, this morning I said that every one of us ought to serve Him and live for Him with all our heart because of the sacrifice He offered. And in verse number 13, it says, but now in Christ, ye who sometimes were afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want you to know our redemption wasn't the sacrifice of a lamb or a turtle dove or a bullock. Save you and me, it took the blood of Jesus. Holy blood, sinless blood, shed blood. Blood that was shed instead of mine. Blood that was paid for my sin debt. Because of the sacrifice He offered. He offered His own life for us. Now, I've never had anybody love me like that in this life. I've never had anybody said, I'll die in your place. I had a brother that died for our nation in the Second World War, and I love him for that, but he didn't just single me out and die for me. But Jesus did. Jesus did. And in His suffering and shed blood on that old rugged cross, He purchased our salvation. And we ought to serve Him with all of our heart and life because of the sacrifice He offered. And thirdly, I told you this morning, we ought to serve Him with all our heart and love Him and live for Him because of the way He offered Himself. Why, He gave Himself to be crucified and on an old rugged cross. He who created light and was light hung in darkness for our sins. He who is life died in order that we might have life everlasting. I want you to know, salvation may be free, but it wasn't cheap. Oh, how He suffered. Our minds cannot comprehend it. We can read about it, we can think about it, but we do not have the ability to convey the suffering and the sacrifice and the horror of Calvary. Jesus did it for me and you. He bore our sin and He bore our shame. The holy, holy, holy Son of God hung naked on the cross before the world and before God, as God poured out His wrath upon Him, just so you and I could be saved. And I'm here to tell you, a person is an ungrateful brat that will accept eternal salvation and will not live their life for Jesus Christ and serve Him with all their heart. And then I told you lastly this morning, we ought to live for Him and serve Him with all our heart because of the way we were saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourself. It's the gift. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We couldn't earn it. We couldn't buy it. We couldn't be good enough to receive it. God had to pay the price for us and then give it to us as a gift, or we could not have had it. No one's ever cared for me like Jesus. No one's ever given me what Jesus has given for me. And He deserves my life. He deserves my all. And then fifthly, Every Christian ought to love him and live for him according to the scripture and serve him with all their heart because of what he saved us from. Look at verse 12. And at that time we were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. Bible says we were without hope because we were without Christ. What did he save us from? An eternity of no hope. What did he save us from? Saved us from an eternity of hell fire, where the worm dieth not and the fire is never quenched. He saved us from the wages of our own sin. He saved us from the torments of hell, the torments of the flame. That's what he saved us from. And he's not worthy of my love. He's not worthy of my life being lived according to his will and for his glory. He's not worthy that you and I should serve him with all our heart. Oh, dear God, without him, we'd be without hope on our way to hell. And that's what every one of us deserves. Then, every one of us who are saved ought to serve him with all our heart and live for him according to the scripture because of what we are now that we're saved. Look at verse 19. We read about what we were, lost, doomed, no hope, strangers. Now, therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, did you know my salvation is as real and as good as Paul's salvation was? Because it's the same. Do you know my salvation is as good as Simon Peter's was? It's the same. Purchased by the same blood. Provided as a gift the same way. And I want you to know everything that God did for Paul and Peter and John and James and Matthew and Mark and Luke, he has done for us in Christ Jesus. They don't have some super hold on salvation that we do not have. You know the difference between them and some of us here tonight. They loved him and gave their life to live for him according to the scripture. And they served him with all their heart. Just like God planned for me and you to. We ought to serve him because of what we are now that we're saved. I know we were a pile of rocks and rot and ruin. We were worthless. We were without hope and without God. But not now in Christ Jesus. Not now. We're not a servant. We're sons. We're not an alien. We're citizens. We're not a sinner lost. We're an heir to God and a joint heir with Jesus. Why, he saved us from that place of being the beggar. And now then in Christ, we're the child of the King. We'll rule and reign with him. And I don't know if you understand it, but that statement, joint heirs with Christ, means that everything God has for Christ is ours too. Joint heirs. I mean, God's going to give this to Christ and he's going to give us this too. Because of our salvation. Don't you think that he deserves our love? Don't you think he deserves us to serve him with all our heart and live for him according to the teachings of the scripture? I want to know, what is so ugly to you about Jesus that you won't live for him? What is so bad about Christ and all his love for us that you rebel against him? then I want you to know that every one of us ought to love Him with all our heart. We ought to serve Him with all our might. And we ought to live for Him according to the Scripture. Because we are now the temple of the Holy Ghost of God. Bible tells us that God doesn't live in buildings made by hands. He lives in us. The moment we got saved, God moved into my body. My body became His temple. God, the Holy Spirit, lives in me. Everything I do, He does with me. Everything you do, He's a part of it. Everything you do in this body of flesh, God the Spirit is part of it because He lives in here. This body is His temple. He doesn't come in and out. The Bible says when He indwelt us, He will be in us and with us till we're called home to glory. Because this body is His dwelling place, I ought to serve God in this body. And I ought to live for God in this body. Growing up as I did, we were very poor. But my mama was very clean. Doctors in town would want to buy butter from my mother because my mother was very clean and they knew it. Not everybody on the farm's very clean. She would scrub her floors. She would wash her dishes. She would wash the clothes. We didn't have much, but it was clean. And it was pressed. Hey, Mama, I never remember wearing a pair of blue jeans that were not pressed, ironed. It may have patches on the knees and on the seat, but they were iron patches. I mean, they were ironed. I don't mean they were the iron-on kind. She took blue jeans that were so badly worn they could not be patched and cut out patches from places that were still good and patched the other blue jeans so I could wear them. But they were clean. My shirts were made out of flour sacks. Now back then, we didn't buy flour in a little 5-pound bag. You didn't go to town and buy bread. You bought flour and Mama made bread. And she'd buy 50 pounds or 100 pounds of flour at a time. And those flour sacks had patterns on them. They weren't just white or burlap. They were white cotton cloth with patterns and designs. So we'd go into the grocery store and we'd go over to the flour area and I'd pick out my next shirt. Or underwear. Mama emptied it into the big old barrel, the can that kept the flour, and then she'd wash it, iron it. And sometimes she'd have to have a couple of them to make a shirt, but she'd save it until she got another one and make a shirt. But I'm telling you, when I wore them, it was clean. They were clean. Now, I've said all of that to say this. Somebody come to my preacher. About every 4 or 5 weeks, it was our turn to feed the preacher on Sunday. I loved that because we killed chickens. When the preacher came, Mama fried up chicken. There's no chicken. I don't care if it's Kentucky's or Church's or Express's that tastes like Mama's skillet fried chicken. Oh, my soul. Mom would fry chicken. The only other time we'd get chicken is when a car would run over one out in the road and we'd get to it real early. That's the truth. If it's an old hen, we had chicken and dumplings. If it's a young one, brother, we prepared it and fried it. We may have to eat around a broken leg, but that's all right. But before that preacher would come, Mom would clean that house. Clean the house. I'm talking about scrub the floors, mop dust, wash the windows. Dear God, she worked and had us working because the preacher's coming. The only thing that kept me going was the chicken. Mama didn't want to be embarrassed by having the man of God come into a dirty house. I would to God that we'd get embarrassed when we forget that God is living in a dirty body, an unkempt body, an undisciplined body, a body without character, and a body without dedication, a body without being trained to live according to the principles of Scripture. Body that does things that would embarrass God. I promise you, if the president said, "I'm stopping by your house," you'd spend a little time cleaning up. And yet, God lives in me and you, and we think nothing about cleaning up this old body and keeping it clean and living according to His Scripture. One year for Christmas, I gave my wife a certificate to a cleaning service. They'd come in once a month and clean the house top and bottom. I quit that because she was sick once a month from getting up a couple of days before the cleaning service came and cleaning the house from top to bottom because she didn't want the cleaning people to see a dirty house. I wish we could catch on to things about Christian living like that. We ought to serve God with all our heart, and we ought to live for Him according to the Scripture, because you know where God is? He's right here in this body. This morning, I got up early and went out and went through my exercises and rode my bike and did all the things that I'm supposed to do to keep my knee going and get it back to where it needs to be. And then I sat down and put ice on it and got my Bible, my Sunday school lesson, and my sermon. Just spent time with Him thinking again about this morning and about the message. And you know, I knew when I got up here that it was not going to be just me preaching. It was me and God, because He lives in here. Sunday school teachers went into their class this morning, and it wasn't just you, it was you and God, because the Holy Spirit of God lives in you. And let me tell you, He sees, He knows what we're doing, He knows what we're saying, He knows how we're acting. And I'm here to tell you, because our body is the temple of God, we ought to dedicate ourselves to live our life for Him and to serve Him with all our heart. And then we ought to live our life for Jesus if we're saved, and serve Him with all of our heart, because we are examples of the saving power of God. Look at verse 7. That in ages to come, He might show — that word show means display — the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. We live in a world going to hell. The unsaved man cannot read the Scripture and understand it. The Bible says the natural man understandeth not the things of God. They are spiritually discerned. That's the reason God tells us to go out and tell them about Jesus and preach the gospel to every creature. They're not going to understand it unless we take it to them and explain it to them. Now, the gospel they do understand is the gospel according to your life. You say you're a Christian. You say, I just don't know why the world's got such a terrible attitude about Christians. It's what they're seeing in Christians. And God says, it's my will, once you're saved, to live for Jesus and serve Him with all my heart, that you might be an example, a display of the saving grace of God. So others would want to be saved. I read a story one time about a young Christian girl that was graduating from high school. And she said, I don't care what anybody says, I'm going to the prom. And I'm going to be a part of that dance. And she invited this boy that was unsaved to take her. And he did. And while they were at the prom on the dance floor, she said to this unsaved boy, have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? And he said, no. Have you? And she said, yes. And he said, what are you doing here? He had more sense about what God expects of a Christian than she had. And may I say to you, that's prevalent today in the world. That's the reason the world looks down on Christianity so, is because we're a poor display of the grace and the goodness of a God who loved us and gave Himself for us. It's about time we get ourselves right with God to the place where people could see Christ in us and say, I'd like to have what you have. Something's different in your heart and life. Has anybody ever said that to you? If they haven't, maybe we're a poor display of the grace of God. Well, my mama used to say, now son, when we get to town, we'd go to town every Saturday afternoon and buy groceries. It's the only time we went to town. We didn't run to town for a quart of milk or a dozen eggs or a loaf of bread. We went to town once a week and we loaded up the old pickup with groceries. And everything we had for the rest of the week was in that pickup. Or we didn't have it. Mom would say, now Bobby, don't you embarrass me. Don't you get up there in town among all those people and embarrass me. You be on your best behavior. I'd say, yes'm. I wonder if God's not saying to us, don't you embarrass me. Be on your best behavior because I loved you and I gave myself for you and I died on Calvary so you could be saved. I'm living in you. You're representing me in a world going to hell. Be on your best behavior. He has a right to expect it. He planned it before the worlds were ever formed. God expects us to live for Him and serve Him with all our heart. That is normal for the Christian to do. Are you normal or abnormal? And then one last thing. Every one of us ought to serve Him with all our heart because He desires it and commands it. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in Him. Now listen, folks. God has angels that serve Him and honor Him, but He never died for an angel. Seraphims cry, holy, 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 before His throne, but He never died for a seraphim. They have no idea of what salvation is. But He died for us. And of all of His creation, the one he planned and purchased and has provided for his by his own shed blood, the one he planned to serve him and live for him, was me and you. He desires it of us. And if there was no other reason on earth that we should live for him and serve him with all our heart, that ought to be enough. If we love him, we keep his commandments. We obey him. Where are you in this matter of living and serving Jesus? Are you just doing as little as you can get by with, as much as you want, or as little as you want? Or are you really, truly trying to please him? Are you doing his will? Are you living by his book? Oh yes, you claimed his salvation. You didn't want to go to hell. You wanted to go to heaven. Don't you think you're kind of hypocritical to claim salvation and not live for him? Don't you think that you're the most ingrate that ever has lived if you trust him as your Savior and refuse to live according to his will and plan for your life? He desires it of us. And he deserves it of us. Father, that's our message. Thank you for loving us and dying for us on that old rugged cross. Help us to lay aside the petty thoughts and reasons the devil uses to keep us from surrendering our will to your will. Thank you for loving us and dying for us. Thank you for salvation so precious we can't explain it or describe it. And thank you that after rescuing us from hell and washing the filth of this world from us by your own blood, that you desire us to live for you and serve you with all our heart. Help us to do it. Lord, every one of us ought to fall on our face tonight and say, thank you, God, for loving me. Thank you, because I'm reminded of what I was and what you've done for me. I'm reminded of what I am and what I have now in Christ Jesus. And I'm reminded of your will and purpose for my Christian life. And I'm reminded that you live in me and you deserve the best of me. Help us to fall on our face tonight and dedicate ourselves to you. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.